Welcome to the Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey. This is our opportunity to look at mostly books and other things from a Reformed perspective. I have with me today Jeff Waddington, who serves as the pastor of Faith OPC in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Camden?
I'm getting along. Got a lot going on coming up, but I'm excited to talk about some Reformed books. At least what we have on deck today is A Goodly Heritage on the Secession of 1834 by Cornelis Pronk and published by Reformation Heritage Books. Tell us about this title.
Sure. This is a really handy one-volume book. I have a 7-volume Dutch history of the Afscheiding. So this is a nice, this covers more material than that other set in Dutch, but it's a good history for those of us who are on the Presbyterian side of the Presbyterian Continental. Don't want to say divide, but you know what I mean. This is kind of like a primer on all the details.
Sure.
If we think of Presbyterians like Daryl Hart and John Meather's book on Seeking a Better Country or Fighting the Good Fight. The history of Presbyterian, the 300 years of Presbyterian
Seeking a Better Country.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Well, this is kind of in not as many years, but it goes back to actually it may be when we look consider the precursor to the Afscheiding, which is 1834. The Afscheiding simply is the Dutch for secession. So it's what I'm used to referring to it to as. So it's dealing with the near context of the secession of 1834 all the way up to almost our present day. So it's covering the years from the late 1600s, mid 1700s, all the way up until at least the 1950s or later. And it's covering a multitude of denominations. That's what I was trying to get at.
Sure.
We think of split peas, right? Well, it's a Christian, or we might say it's a human thing. And the book does go into a fair bit of the detail of what distinguishes one group from another. And some of it's quite fascinating. Some of it's, you know, prosaic. Some of it is similar, mirrors some of the doctrinal disputes on the Presbyterian side. So it's interesting to see that there are perennial issues that come up in the life of the church, whether it's on the Dutch continental reform side or the Scottish, English, Irish, Presbyterian, American Presbyterian side. An example of that would be the debate over the free offer of the gospel, which we had in the OPC several years ago, but was an issue in the Dutch Reform community in the 1800s.
Sure.
So the Afscheiding is the secession of Orthodox Christians, Reformed Christians, from the state church in the Netherlands. So that's where that name comes from. Now that state church is referred to as the Hervormde Kerk. That's the mother church, which, without boring our watchers and listeners, the state church had declined in terms of both theological orthodoxy and church government orthopraxy. And so this group of believers, a small group, I think, out of the whole, they seceded in 1834. Now they are, there are influences, two specific influences upon the secessionist group. The one is what's called the Further Reformation, or the Nadere Reformatie in Dutch. And that's basically Puritanism spilled over into the Dutch Reformed context. So although they have their own writers, it's not just English or Scottish authors who are influential in the Netherlands. There are also many homegrown authors who are influential on the secessionists, especially with regard to what we would call the application of redemption, the Ordo Salutis. And in addition to the Nadere Reformati, there is what's called the Reveil. It looks like Reveil, but it's French, so I believe you don't pronounce the L. And that's just simply revival. So the Reveil was a movement in the early 1800s, perhaps late 1700s. That is actually a movement, a revival movement that is also in the UK, as well as in the Netherlands and other parts of Europe, France, I believe. Which explains why it's French.
Yes, perhaps.
For instance, Abraham Kuyper came under the influence of the Reveil. And it's broader than Calvinism, so it's kind of like an evangelical movement kind of thing. So those are the two historical precursors to the secession of 1834. The secession occurs. It is illegal by definition in terms of at that time in 1834. To be a part of the secessionist church is to be outside legal boundaries in the Netherlands. The secessionist churches themselves break into small, there are groups that break off of the secessionist body. And many of the Dutch Reformed denominations that we have in Canada and the United States can trace their roots back to the secession and succeeding splinters.
Yes, certainly.
There are notable men who leaders in the church that the book discusses. And of course, if you think about the Opscheiding or the secession, Herman Bavinck was a scion of the Opscheiding or the secession of 1834 churches.
Yeah, his father.
They established the theological school in Kampen, where he teaches for 20 plus years before going to the Free University. Now, later, a movement develops in the Hervormde Kerke called the Dolianti, which Abraham Kuyper is involved with and is basically the head of. The Dolianti and the seceders look at each other with jaundiced eye. And even when they merge, the different sections still look at each other with jaundiced eye. And Bavinck is alive, and Kuyper is alive, of course, at the time that the merger occurs. And the Christian Reformed Church here in the United States, I believe, can trace its roots back to that merger of the Opscheiding and the Dolianti. Dolianti from suffer, those who are sorrowful. You may remember, Camden, there was a Roman Catholic church in not far from Westminster Seminary called Seven Dollars. Same idea. It's dollar. We have a word called dolorous, which means sorrowful. Those who shed tears, basically, because, and that's an interesting story in its own right, but this book covers all of the ins and outs involved with the bringing of the secession and the Dolianti together to form one denomination. And then eventually there are splinter groups off of that, which we also have still with us today.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities with different aspects of Presbyterianism, but because of the different confessional tradition and heritage, there are, in a sense, there have been different historical stakes.
Yes.
Different ecclesiastical stakes. And a lot of this, in my understanding, which is minimal, I admit that, but in my understanding, in the Belgic Confession, particularly around, you know, Article 29 and the marks of a true church, there's a great interest, but more than an interest, there's a great requirement among many continental Reformed folk to find the true church, not merely by looking at a specific church and determining whether it is engaging in faithful practice, it's preaching correctly, it's administering the sacraments correctly, it is engaging in church discipline. But in my limited understanding, there also tends to be an historical interest as well. You want to find the true church, not merely in terms of what this specific church is doing and professing, but also from whence it came. Meaning
almost
trying to track it. It's like apostolic authority in a sense.
That's right. That's what I was going to say. Almost like apostolic succession, right?
Right, exactly.
That isn't addressed in that manner, but there's definitely a commitment on the part of the secessionist movement as a whole to uphold and follow the Dort church government and with all that entails. So that was actually a contested issue, both when they broke off from the mother church, the Hervormde Kerk, and then later on when there were other, and there were, as you might expect, there were also groups that were of similar mindset, but who were not a part of the original secession, that eventually the secessionist churches seek merger with. So you've got mergers in different directions. You've got splits and you've got mergers. You've got re-mergers and things like that. But definitely there is certainly in amongst the secessionist movement, I would say, a pietistic element, and that's the Nadere Reformati. The further Reformation would account for a lot of that.
So is there a banner of truth trust, but for the Dutch?
there may very well be, although I would say several of the further Reformation authors have been translated into English and published by Reformation Heritage books. Willem Tielink would be one example. I remember when I worked at the Westminster Seminary bookstore when these books came out, because they were relatively short books, you know, 100 pages. And there were three or four of them that they published, well-known authors amongst those who were had high esteem for the further Reformation. So there's a lot of detail in a relatively few pages, and those who have been, you know, steeped in the tradition, you will remember those details, of course, much more easily than those of us for whom this, while this isn't my first reading of Dutch Reformed books in terms of theology and history, it is my first delving deeply into all of the details, including, amongst other things, the establishment of the Dutch colony in Pella, Iowa. So I learned about the background of that, which I didn't know before, other than knowing that it exists even to this day.
That's the enclave.
That's where Dort College is, right?
No. Dort's in northwest Iowa. Pella is a different location, but Pella, there's a great Reformed confluence, and you'll find pretty much at least a congregation from all of the New Park churches in Pella, and lots of great bakeries.
Ah, okay. Well, anyway, so that was just one that the author, Reverend Pronk, went into explaining the background.
Certainly.
It definitely is a handy one volume, as I said, one volume source. for those who are especially ecumenically minded in the Reformed sense, this would be a good book to have on your shelf. And as well as for those of us who are just interested in knowing about more about our brothers and sisters on the continental side of the divide.
Absolutely. So who might benefit from reading this book? What's it aimed at? Who might be interested in picking it up?
Well, I would certainly say anybody who's seeking licensure or ordination or whatever they call those things, call those steps in the process toward ordination in, say, the URC or any of the other denominations that are in the Dutch Reformed fold.
Family so tree. That's,
I mean, for those of us in the OPC, because we have a big dose of Dutch Reformed in our heritage, it's good for us to be familiar with it. But I would say definitely those who are in the URC seeking ordination, it would be a good volume to turn to kind of get your background, your bearings, so to speak.
Wonderful. Well, that's good. So this is a goodly heritage, the secession of 1834 and its impact on Reformed churches in the Netherlands and North America by Cornelis Pronk. It's published by Reformation Heritage Books. They do excellent work. We'll have links to that in the episode description and ways in which you can pick up a copy and check it out. So until next time, tolle lege, pick up and read.